the NFL Pick'em versus the Spread Show. You're joined with myself, Cab Manning, from the Lingus Mafia podcast, at Lingus Mafia, as well as Mr. Billy Body, who we've destroyed this year, by the way. Wouldn't you say, Billy? We're way a fucking ahead of the game.
Oh, like the last week, week 17, that was just straight fire. I sent you the pick sheet, didn't I?
Yes.
It was all ticked up, completely ticked up. Props, games, parlays, everything. Like, just fucking massacred the last week.
The only one go ahead.
I've had 12 winning weeks of the season. Some of the weeks I lost, I literally lost on the Monday Night Football. I was literally on the wire of having a profit or not having a profit, or losing a profit on the last Monday. The weeks I've won, they've been fucking obliterations. Like, they've been so ridiculously profitable, it's been unbelievable. It's been like that throughout the whole season. These 12 winning weeks, like 10 of them, I'd say, are absolutely huge. I had a couple of borderline winning weeks, but like 9, 10 of them have been absolutely humongous, beginning from the very first week, or for the first 4 weeks when I was 18-3 ATS. And like I said, I always said, like, the expectations from there were too high, and I was trying to always taper things down. Mm-hmm. But the finish to the season has been so, so, like, strong.
I joined this one league. A friend told me, he goes, hey, do you want to do a Pick'ems league? And I'm like, it's week 17. What kind of fucking thanks for the invite? And I asked the guy, and they go, oh, they're trying to get as many people as they can. Everybody throws in $20 and shit like that, right? So I go, okay, I fucking missed two games and I lost because of the total for the last game. I think I said 44 points and what was it, like 39 or 40, something like that, but somebody had like 40. So three of us got only two wrong and I only lost because of the fucking total. I was like, motherfucker. Now I have to do the whole playoffs at once, like you do a bracket. And just do the whole fucking playoffs, which I think is actually semi-easy for the most part. There could be one person that gets bit in the ass, but who knows? But I was rolling this year. This year, I ended up, me and the boys on the Lingus, we do just straight picks. And we also do the confidence pool and all that shit. My cousin, remember I told you he was second in the fucking world for the confidence picks? He ended up, he fucked up, I guess, at the end, because he ended up 206. Not bad, 206 for fucking the entire everyone who ever plays in ESPN. But he was number two until fucking, I think it was the 2 weeks to go. And he dropped down to, I think, fifth. And then he dropped down to 206. I'm like, what the fuck? I think he tried to reach for a couple things, but fucked it up. Dallas fucked me this last week. That was pretty much the only thing that did me wrong when it came down to winning money, because I think whatever. Oh, Arizona lost too, and because fucking Murray got out of the game immediately, which we said, if Murray plays, we take Arizona. If he doesn't, we take fucking Rams. And okay, he's playing for 4 seconds. Great. Thanks. That doesn't fucking help me. So Dallas, I had a parlay. And it was four teams, and I don't know why this was, but it was four teams, and I didn't even do it with points. I put down $20, and it would have got me $200, and Dallas lost, and it fucked me. And I was like, you got to be kidding. All the other fucking ones won.
Why did you play Dallas?
I thought they're a better fucking team. How the hell the Giants? Come on, man. Just fucking, I'll never have faith in that fucking Jones. I just don't think Daniel Jones is any good. I think Dalton's better than fucking Jones.
Well, he's not, but okay.
you would take Jones over Dalton? I don't know. I don't think I would.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing. Like, they've gone the whole season without Barkley. I think they would have been the best team. I think they would have been the best team in that division. It's not saying much, but like, I think they could have been an 8-8 team.
Yeah, at least get two more wins with him there for sure. Mm. All right. So we're getting into our picks for Wild Card Weekend. It's First time ever. Three games Saturday, three games Sunday. My poor girlfriend has to sit there. And she's out of town all week, comes home for the weekend. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to sit here and watch football with me. I go, it's only 2 weeks of both days. And then, you know, you don't have to be a widow as much. But the first game is Colts versus the Bills. I worry that the Bills are going to remember they're the Bills. This, I'm like, you just think of them not being ready almost. But, I mean, they did seem different this year. And maybe they could keep on fucking rolling. Do you know the spread?
Yeah, isn't okay. It like 5.5 now?
It's 6.5 on ESPN. It's 6.5.
You need to not use ESPN.
You know what? I was just going to it when you, as soon as I said it, I go, you know, I need to go to my betting site because that's the one that I should go from. So I'll go to my my mobile betting here.
It's 5.5 now.
Okay. See, that's the thing, man. I'm like, why would fucking ESPN do that? But you figure that'd be the main line. Okay. So, oh, no. You know what? For mine, it's 6.
I think they get, like, the opening line, and then they don't kind of move along with it. I think that's what happens there.
Well, it's 6 on my betting app that I would have to put money on. You know, I don't trust Rivers, and this could possibly be his last game too, and him be done. I'll take Buffalo to cover this, but God, if Indy's fucking defense, you know, plays the way they fucking have when they've been hot, you know, that's scary to me. But
that defense has regressed a lot.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, it's the same like the Bears. The Bears were fucking really good defense at the beginning of the year. Now it's a fucking joke. So yeah, I'll take Buffalo. They're at home. They're talking about trying to get fans in there and like having tests at the stadium so they could have fans, which I'm like, so do this all year.
So, they're going to have 7,000 fans in there who are going to be pretty noisy. It's going to be fucking freezing cold in Buffalo as well. I know Rivers has won some playoff games, but I think he has a losing record overall. I think it's like 5-6 or something like that. And this team, this Bills team, they've covered 8 games in a row, winning by an average of 14 points a game across the last 8. Their losses came when I think they took that game in Tennessee where they looked past Tennessee clearly. The Hail Murray game, which was a real fluke, and then they had that defeat where they lost at home to the Chiefs, just about. So that's the 3 losses they've had, and they come into this off the back of 8 wins in a row. They're in the cold. They're at home. They're gonna have fans there. They're laying under a touchdown, winning by an average of 14 across the last 8 games. I think this is a really easy one to start with.
Okay, that's we're both going with the Buffalo Bills to get this thing. Second game, and this is the Rams going into the Seahawks. They still haven't said if Goff is going to play or not, but meanwhile, I think that other quarterback was just as good as Goff, so what's the difference? God, you know, I'm almost thinking.
I think he's not going to play. Is he not? I don't think he is going to play.
I can't imagine that surgery on your thumb, and then, like, originally they go, oh, he'll be ready for the playoffs. And I'm like, really? And 1 week of fucking after surgery, and it's your thumb where you're gripping the ball. It's not like it's, you know, a middle finger where you could kind of, like, try to leave it alone and lay off the ball. I'm like, fuck, the thumb. There's no other choice but to grab it with that shit. I'll go with Seattle. It's always rough when people play each other then the third time. You know, I never wanted to see that. Like when, remember you were saying, let Minnesota win so you get them the next week in the playoffs. And I'm like, I don't want to see a team 3 times. I just don't. It's like a matter of time till you just get bit. Like, finally, they'll figure you out.
But you didn't let Minnesota win, and did you? And you ended up losing to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, they would have lost to anybody. They fucking... Parkey would have missed the fucking kick anyway. It made for good Made for good shit for the rest of our lives to always think about fucking Parkey. I'll take Seattle in this. I'm not jumping up and down about this game, no. But I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, I think Seattle win this game at home. I think I can't make a case for the Rams. The Rams only just lost this game a few weeks ago, which was a divisional decider. The spread hasn't moved that much. I mean, Seattle were 2-point favorites in that initial one. It's 3.5 points now is what I've got here. Is that what you have?
I have, where is it? I have 3.
You have 3?
3.
Well, that's better, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard an expert guy, supposedly expert, he said, if it's 3, take it. If it's 3.5, don't. Leave it alone then. He was going for like over-unders more. He was like, I don't trust a lot of shit. And he was like, go for the over-under and this and that. So, but he said go for it if it was 3.
I think they'll win this by more than 3. More than 7 as well, I think.
Okay.
It's just, I tried so hard, like looking through these games this week, I mean, some of these playoff games are really good, but it's hard to find a case for an underdog. And I've really only found one that we'll talk about when we get to it.
Okay. Next one, we have Tampa Bay going into Washington. Now, I would have left this alone because it was 8 points. I go, that's a lot. Until... You know not to talk shit to somebody who's fucking, to Tom. Why would anyone try to egg him on? Chase Young fucking tweets at him. I'm coming for you. I'm coming to get you. Okay. Now I fucking pick Tampa by 50. He's gonna kill them now. Washington can't score. And everybody's still coming back. It's not a knee problem. That we saw last week with the receiver for Tampa, where he slipped and hurt himself. Everybody's going to be playing. Defense is still there. I think, not, and I actually, after I heard about that tweet, I went and put money on the game. That was how much it affected me. I said, oh, why would you fucking taunt somebody like that? So, he's young. Literally, he's Chase Young and young. So, I'm taking Tampa Bay minus the 8. I don't care that it's 8.
What am I getting at now? Hold on. I think it's 7.5, but I'll check.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's the wrong game. Yeah, it is 7.5.
This is where somebody said the... I think they said the over in this game. I don't know what the... Let me see what it is. Game totals... the over under here is 44.5. Yeah, they said go over.
This has been like the biggest bet, not the most bet like game overall, but the biggest bet of the week so far. Where someone has put down, I believe, $2.5 million to win $500,000.
Jesus Christ. Must be nice.
I don't think it's 2 million to win. It's 2... What was it? I can't remember what... It was something like that. It's basically... you're winning a quarter of what you're putting down. I think it's about... Wow. 200... I think it's 2 million to win $500,000, something like that.
I mean, with that... With those points, too? They're that... I mean...
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then okay.
No, points are always 50-50.
Well, no, not for me. Anytime I've seen it, it's never 50-50 for me. It's a dollar or two less than what I'm doing. Like, I'll put in 20 and it'll say 18 bucks. Yeah.
Of course, that's the bookies, like, the gray area where, like, you know, that's why they have 10 to 11, where you have to put down 110 to win to 100. And you have to do that on both. If you back the outcome of both games.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you put, like, 110 down on both, you'll end up making a loss. That's the whole point of how it works.
Putting down that money is crazy.
You'll bet 220 across the both outcomes. You'll bet 220, and the most you can win is 210.
Mm.
That's the bookie's edge. that they always have.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. On to Sunday here. We have, you like all these little sound effects, Billy? I paid a lot for this board. I might as well use it, man. Wait until we get to the locks of the week.
I don't think I took anyone in that last game. I'll take, I guess I'll take Brady and the Bucks here, but I don't think this is going to be as straightforward as some of the games this week.
And my cousin was saying, he goes, would you really be surprised if Washington won? And I'm like, I get where he's coming from, but yes, I fucking would. It's the East. It's bye week 2.0, and it really should be. They shouldn't think of it that way when they play him, obviously, because any given Sunday, as they say, but they really have no business to fucking be there.
I think this will be a much more difficult game than people think it will be. I don't think this is in the same. Like, if you look at the line here, and it's the same as the Saints against the Bears. Like that's going to be a much easier game for the Saints than this is going to be for the Bucks. The Bucks should not be equal to the Saints this week.
There's a lot of injuries on that other side too. By the way, we'll get to it. Sunday. It's Baltimore going into Tennessee. Baltimore, to me, is hot right now. They're favored by 3.5. So
yeah, I know.
They're just too hot for me right now. And Tennessee barely has been winning, even though they have a fucking monster who that's all they should do is fucking hand off the ball. But I think Lamar's going to run around on them. I think he's playing well since all COVID and all that shit. So I got no problem to take Baltimore here.
Okay, I'm taking Tennessee 100%.
Wow. Okay.
Here's why. Baltimore have been running around scoring points and looking good against fucking nobody. They've had an easier schedule than the fucking Chicago Bears, who were out of the fucking playoffs and ended up finishing 8-8, finishing 3-1, beating three college teams to get through to the fucking playoffs. Ravens have done exactly the same thing. Yeah, they look good now, but they haven't looked good all season. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson cannot win a big game. Every time there's a big game, he finds a way of losing it. The Tennessee Titans always beat this team. The Tennessee Titans destroyed them last year in the playoffs. And then in the big revenge game in the regular season, who won that game?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Lamar somehow can't. The defense isn't good. Like, Lamar hasn't managed to. Hasn't managed to throw over 200 yards against them once. They somehow know exactly how to play against him. Whereas the opposite can be said for the Ravens playing against Derrick Henry, who just manages to run all over them all the time. Plus, the better quarterback in this game is also Tannehill. Tannehill is the best quarterback in this game. It's not Lamar. And I'm getting 3.5 points here, and they're at home. Against a team that can't beat them so far, or haven't shown any ability to beat them. Plus, the Titans have neutralized everything that the Ravens have done in the last two games. It's not even like we're talking like, oh, you know, they beat them like two times in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. They beat them two times in the last fucking few months. Like, they beat them a year ago. They destroyed them, put them out of the playoffs, and then they beat them a few months back. In the regular season. So I understand that the Ravens are hot, and I even understand that there's actually sharp money on this game. Like, the experts are coming in, and they've moved it from 3 to 3.5, and there's still money going on it. And I even see that the fucking Ravens are like the third favorites now to win the AFC. Like, they've been backed into like 5-1. They're 5-1 behind the Bills and the Chiefs.
So everyone got like me. They got into a frenzy that they were doing good, and that's all they see. But it's not. It's fake good.
So it's not fake good necessarily, but it's like, I don't think
against trash.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of trash that they've beaten.
Yeah, like Mitch looked fantastic against Jacksonville, right? It's like that. Go sure.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of that. So I mean, that's why for me. Until I see them beat Tennessee, I'm not going to take them. I'm not going to take them to like fucking lay points on the road against Tennessee. And that's for this team being 5-1 to get through to, you know, to 5-1 to win the AFC.
Yeah.
They have to fucking go on the road every single week from Tennessee, who they haven't been able to beat. Then they have to go to the Chiefs, and then if they somehow get through that, then they're probably going to the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to win the AFC.
Yeah, if they do, they fully deserve to fucking
have of course
beat those fucking teams. You like the over or under here, 54.5?
Duh, the over.
Yeah, me too. That's what I thought. Hell, that's what you convinced me so much. That's what I might bet on that instead. On Nickelodeon, Jesus Christ, Nickelodeon gets a fucking football game. The Chicago Bears.
Are you being serious? Or are you...
Yes. No, I'm being serious. It's on Nickelodeon.
How can it be on Nickelodeon?
I don't know, but it is on Nickelodeon. You haven't heard them promoting that like crazy? They're like, oh, Nickelodeon getting a game this year. I'm like, it's on Nickelodeon, CBS, and Amazon. Like, oh, okay. Well, I have choices, I guess.
Why do Nickelodeon need a football game?
I don't have a fucking clue. And people all making fun. Oh, the losing team's going to get slimed. Oh, you know, they got to play double dare. All this shit. I'm like, what the fuck? I might have to turn it on just to see what the hell the presentation is.
Oh, yeah. I definitely watch it on Nickelodeon. But
just to see if they do some slime of some sort.
I'm just trying to understand why they even wanted this game.
I think they're just, here's the game you're getting. You know, they say they want a football game. And all right, well, we're giving you one. Here you go. I think that's it. So it is the New Orleans Saints versus
the Bears.
And everybody is hurt from the Bears, which is even better. This is 10.5 points. I'm taking New Orleans with this. And it's...
This is 10.5 points now.
It's 10.5. Yeah. A lot of people are out for Chicago.
Okay.
Their third corner is out. Their linebacker, who you could tell when he was out, it's horrible. Possibly their wide receiver is out. There's some fucking issues over there. My cousin right away, he goes, I'm telling you, the Bears are going to win. I go, you want to bet $50? And this is no points. I'm like, really? I'll bet you $50. And he goes, no, they're going to do this. And I go, but this person's out, this person's out, this person's out, this person's out. And he goes, well, I guess a bet's a bet. And I go, listen, I'm not trying to rob you. I'll allow you to back out. And he goes, thank you. So he backed out. So he called me today, though, and he says, I really still think they're going to win. Do you want to do 20? No problem. I'll do $20 on that fucking game. Like we always say, any given Sunday, but come on. Come on. Everyone, oh, you know, Breeze sucks now. Breeze sucks now. He doesn't have the arm he used to. He's not what he used to. He still has his brain, and he has arm enough to do short passing. He doesn't need to throw any fucking bombs. He recognizes a blitz and sees what's available and gets the ball to them. That's all you need to fucking do. And also my cousin, oh, they're playing on Saturday and Kamara can't play. And I go, no, they're not. They're playing fucking Sunday afternoon. And Kamara has until fucking, you know, like that time to be okay. So it's not for sure he's going to play, but I don't think it matters. The Bears did take them to overtime this year. And remember, they got in that big fucking fist fight on the field. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But I'm not sure Breeze was playing either. He was out. So I will take New Orleans in this. And the expert that I heard said, take the over, and that's 47. New Orleans is supposed to have a defense. How the fuck is this getting a 47? They're not putting up 47 on the Bears by themselves.
Well, they didn't have a defense the last time they were at home against the Vikings.
Mm.
And Trubisky's good now. So
all of a sudden, they roll him out. It's a different offensive coordinator, which has made a world of difference. I don't mind they sign him for one more year after. Okay, because there's nobody available. So 1 year, that's fine. I mean, don't fucking marry the motherfucker. But he does look a lot better moving around. He does make those same stupid mistakes, though, as you saw, you know, getting into shit. I got a little story for Rodgers for you. He's on the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday. Do you ever listen to this?
No.
He's on every Tuesday. It's very interesting. For a guy I don't like, you know, and I only don't like him because he's on the Packers. If he was anywhere else, I don't care. But they go over, like, so what did you see? What did you do? Like, very inside shit. And remember the play that there was a blitz and they put a fucking linebacker, Trevathan, on Scandrid. What's that guy's fucking name? He's got like three names. And it was in like the slot and he fucking took off and just, you know, dumped it over the top. But he said he saw Quinn and fucking Danny Trevathan like talking to each other on the line. Like he saw that there was confusion and knew that there was something going on and knew that pressure was going to be coming and just had to see who was going to be on what. So we put one guy in motion so then he could see who was on who. And he knew that this guy was going to be stuck on the linebacker. And so just had to hike it and fucking toss it over the top. I'm like, that's fucking like brilliantly just, that's being a fucking top of the line quarterback. I'm just like, fucking Christ. That's how it's fucking done. And that's something I'll never fucking have ever. So it was very interesting to listen to. I like all that inside fucking shit. So I will go ahead.
Yeah, you like your tactical stuff.
I fucking love all. It's like when we do Russo interview. I love the inside. I want to know what was being thought of when something was happening. You know, I love the fucking process. Creative process, people, musician-wise, anything like that. Anyone who creates something, I love a process. That's what I'm into. So I'm taking New Orleans here. I don't care that it's 10.5.
Well, I got it at 9.5. But yeah, I don't think this is going to be one of the competitive games of the weekend.
Okay.
I took my underdog already, which I don't think should be an underdog, which is Tennessee. So
okay. I
found one.
All right.
You haven't taken any yet.
As my lock, not yet. No. Can you?
No, you haven't taken any, even as a pick. You don't even think like any underdog has a chance this weekend.
The closest one I would think has a chance is the Rams. That's the one that scared me a little bit.
I really didn't convince you to take Tennessee.
No. I mean. Listen, I always yield to you saying, I mean, you do this for a living. You know better. And like I've said on the show, listen, if it's between me and Billy, I would take Billy's advice more. He studies it more. Obviously, I watch football like a fucking crazy person, and I more so get a feel. But I don't study trends. I don't see what somebody did against what, shit like that, right? I just see a team when somebody starts to get hot. Like, you get hot going into playoffs, that's the best thing to do. And people, like the Eagles, they were hot that year where they were barely snuck in. Same like that. And that one year that the Packers won a Super Bowl, they got fucking hot and needed a little help, but they started running the table at the end. They got in and won the whole fucking thing. So it's shit like that. San Francisco Giants, hot at the right time, wild card, won everything. I wouldn't go that far with Baltimore about winning everything, but I think confidence goes a fucking shit ton away, and that's why I would take Baltimore. Going on to the last game. It is the Cleveland Browns versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this is going to be a destruction, I believe. Cleveland is missing their head coach. I believe they're missing their offensive coordinator. So, this is going to be an issue with this fucking COVID for them. Mason Rudolph almost beat them at the end last week. With everybody out. Tons of people subbing in. Watt didn't even fucking make the trip. And they barely fucking lost to the Browns. This is 6 points. And that means I will be taking Pittsburgh in this.
Yeah, I got this at 6 as well, actually. You can't take the Browns now with all their issues. Mm-mm. I think they're just happy.
I was just going to say, happy to be there. And they should be. They made it there for the first time in a billion years. They're a young team. They're on the way up. Be glad you got there. Sucks you got to lose to your biggest rival. But that's that.
Yeah, I'm not expecting too much from either of these teams for the rest of the playoffs. So I think that the Steelers look really vulnerable towards the end, but they're getting a good good game here with these fucking all these COVID problems that the Browns have had right towards the end of the season as well, where they where they're actually looking relatively decent. I think that what was the worst. I think the worst thing that happened here was that the Steelers came back against the Colts, because that kind of rejigged them, because they were looking like they were going to go into a run where they weren't going to win any games. Like they were going to lose out the season, mm-hmm. and they were going to go out in the first round of the playoffs. And even that could have even opened the door for the Browns to go through. But then what happened in that week, I think the two team season switched to the point where the Browns are just happy to be here. When the Colts blew that lead against the Steelers and the Steelers came back, whilst at the same time the Browns were being beaten by the Jets, mm-hmm. to me, that was a sign of everything's going back to normal. Mm-hmm. The Browns are not good, and the Steelers will always be the team that are more of a threat at this point of the season. And that kind of spelled sort of a return to like normalcy. Mm-hmm. It was all like, you know, the normal stuff was happening at the same time. The Steelers are coming back, and the Browns, after getting this far, are losing to the Jets. You know, everybody's going back to them. Everybody's going back to them. Yeah, I think that was like a turning point. So yeah, I think the Steelers is one of the easier ones to take this week.
Okay. It is now time for our locks of the week. I guess we'll only give one since there's only this many games. My lock is going to be this Pittsburgh -6. I think that's the easiest one. I'm very actually surprised, to tell you the truth, that it's only 6. And didn't even have it at a touchdown to where you know, even Steven it. So that's mine. What do you say?
You know, I really want to fucking take the
Tennessee.
The Titans, just to like really like commit to it.
And say, because look what I said, all that, and I even put my money where my mouth is. God forbid. Goes the opposite way.
Yeah, I mean, I will bet that game anyway.
Sure.
But I just feel that the Bills are really like hot coming in here. Mm-hmm. And I just can't see the Colts going in and winning this game at freezing temperatures. And yeah, I just can't see it. Can't make any case for Indianapolis going in and winning against the Bills. Like I said, the team have covered 8 straight games, mm-hmm. won by an average of 14 points. It's Phillip Rivers going into the cold. This Indianapolis defense is like regressing. Bills are going to have fans in there as well. The only problem is that it's the fucking Buffalo Bills.
That's like 100%. It's like the Browns. They forget who they are.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you can put all of the stats behind it, and you can watch this team play for weeks, and everything, every single metric here tells you that this team are going to go out and win this game easily. Mm-hmm. But then you remember that they're the Buffalo Bills, and all of that might not matter at all. But I still believe. Sorry, did you say that Seattle are only laying 3 points?
Yes.
I mean, I trust them a bit more. Okay, I'm going to go with Seattle. Wow. Just about. But I do like the there's no reason that the Bills shouldn't win. I think if I was doing a 1 and 2, it would be those two. The first couple of games. But I am going to be betting on Tennessee on Sunday.
Okay.
That's a definite as well. I think I'll be going to be betting on everything here.
I'm going to bet everything, sure, too.
I don't like the spreads in the Tampa mm-hmm. and the Saints games. So what I'll probably do is I'll probably go fucking crazy on those, and I'll like probably bet 200 or 200 or even 300 on the moneyline parlay of the Saints and the Buccaneers without any points, because they're gonna be there. There's no situation that I don't see where, I mean, that's why I'm surprised that guy who bet the 2 million on the Bucks, mm-hmm. just on the money line, why you don't tack on the Saints as well? because that the because that then
or for Pittsburgh, 2 million too.
Yeah, but to a lesser extent, maybe. But like, I think just with those two, if you bet 2 million on that, you make 1.4 million.
Mm. Jesus, let's tally our money together.
Which is a good, which is a decent bet. Like, you know, 200 to win 140 profit on Bucks and Saints winning with no points at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do those parlays too with the no points thing. I'll probably do all of them on one for like a little bit less money, obviously, because it's just a better payout. You go, fuck it, nail it all. And then I'll do more on just those two.
So here is the profit here is the profit on these two is, I did that wrong, sorry. It's 60 for every 100 you make. So it's 120 you make. Mm. On that parlay. So yeah, if you bet £500, $500 even, you make $300 on those two. Just a straight money line parlay. Saints and the Bucks. Like, would you be tempted to put £500 down on it? $500 down on it. to make $300.
See, that is a scary thing because, like, I mean, as sure as we are, you always have that back of your head of someone getting fucking bit. And like,
but you think the Bucks are more likely to get bit than than the Saints.
I don't know. Because of the offense that Chicago has started to do, that's where I'm like, I could see that, but the defense has fallen off quite a bit with Chicago, but I'm like, they're putting up like fucking 30 points. They put up 30 points. This could, I mean, fuck. They could win if they put up 30 points.
Yeah, but who did they put 30 points up against? They didn't even put up 20 points against Green Bay.
No, Green Bay's defense has gotten tighter too. Did it against, what were the last games? Obviously we know Jacksonville, but, and then Houston, of course. Minnesota, they did it too. Minnesota, so-so. They're not the fucking best. But, I mean, remember they couldn't score fucking 17 before. So, just the fact that they can fucking do that. And they've changed their game plan where they run now. Instead, you know, where they commit to it and keep it going. Not just, okay, five tries, now you're done. So, I don't know. If Mooney's out as well, that's going to be a hard fight. Because then there's nobody else to pass to. Other than the guy who's going to get no fight.
Yeah, I just don't see that parlay losing. I don't see those two teams losing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna put down money on that for sure. I wouldn't go crazy with $500, but I wouldn't bet $500 on anything. So
$500 to win $300.
I wouldn't bet $500 on me breathing, let alone another team doing something. You go the high roller route.
I do make those kind of bets.
Yeah,
at this time of year, at this time of year, like, you know, when we're getting towards the end of the season, I think when I hear shit like, "Oh, you know, there's 13 games of the season left," like stuff like that, you think, "Whoa, what?" Like, I have to bet on everything. I need to be like heavily invested in these final 13 games that I get to bet on until September.
Yeah, because I don't even gamble unless it's football season. So I don't do basketball. I don't do any of the other ones. So usually I just clear out the account at that point after football's done. So I only got the playoffs to bet on. And I mean, the craziest I do is $100. I don't think I've ever bet more than 100 bucks. And it hurts when I bet $100. So I think I might put 100 bucks on that as a parlay.
Or just those two?
Yeah.
We're going to add one.
No, I think... No, I'll have them all in a parlay, but for fucking 20 bucks. But for the 100 bucks, I'm only putting two. Although, it's going to fucking bother me because I'm going to go... When Pittsburgh kills fucking Cleveland, I'll go, I should have fucking put them in there.
It is fucking very... Like, when these games got pulled out and you're seeing all these divisional rivalries, you're seeing, you know, Buffalo and Indianapolis should looks like it's going to be a good game. Tennessee have had the Ravens number, but the Ravens are coming in hot. You think that's a good game. Then you got the two divisional games around it. Seattle and Los Angeles, the Rams from the NFC West. And then you have the AFC game between the Steelers and the Browns, right? Mm-hmm. So you're interested in everything. You're only looking at those two games going, well, the Bears can't win in New Orleans. Yeah. And everybody wanted to play the winner of the NFC East, mm-hmm. and the Bucks get to get them, right? So you disregard those two games and you make the other four games close. But as you're breaking this down, like, nothing really came out as close to me. Like, I could have locked up anything on this show other than the Tennessee is a big call to just say that they'll beat the Ravens.
Because it is an underdog, quote unquote.
It is an underdog, but I just don't think that they should have been an underdog. I just think it should have been just a pick'em game, because that's, mm-hmm. to me, that's what it is. To me, it's like the hotter team that you know, that you think should win the game, especially with like the Titans not having a good pass defense, and you know, Lamar should be able to get passes into the corners, and you should be looking at like Lamar over 1.5 touchdowns is like a very easy like prop bet to cash. Mm-hmm. He's just not been able to like fucking do it against his team. And not only, here's the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not only is it going to be a problem for, let's say we're right here, right? The Bills win and the Steelers win, yeah? So if Tennessee win this game, not only is it going to be a big problem for Baltimore, but it's going to be a fucking big problem for the Chiefs next week, especially with them having this fucking month off that they've decided to have. Mm. Like, they're going to have to face Derrick Henry again next week, if everything goes according to plan, and the Steelers do win and the Bills win, and if Tennessee win, they're the lowest seed, so the lowest seed goes to the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that out of everybody going through, the Chiefs would prefer to be involved in a shootout with Big Ben or a shootout with the Bills, which I think they'll feel like they can win. I don't think that they'd be as confident thinking that they can win against this Tennessee running game.
Yeah, you're scared about that Tennessee. I mean, a couple weeks ago, you had said, you were like, fuck, that's the one team I'm worried about biting someone in the fucking ass, and I need them out of here as quick as possible. And then, but then you saw, like, I mean, Green Bay took care of them. That was, it didn't take long.
Yeah, but that was in Green Bay, which mm-hmm. which is an actual home field advantage with the cold. And I mean, look, you saw that game. It was playing in the fucking snow.
Yeah, it was in the snow, but I figured, yeah, I mean, and they could not stop Derrick Henry still. I just assumed, like, I remember how I said how to beat him, fucking score more and they'll have to throw the ball. And that's what pretty much happened. I couldn't, you couldn't just keep on fucking running. So that's how to get rid of him. One more thing before we go. Did you hear the latest rumor about who wants to be traded?
Is it Watson?
Yes. And so everybody from my town, I said, oh, they could right their wrong. Fucking get him. Go get whatever. Because I said, okay, I would trade my first round pick for him. No problem. Because that's like, okay, it's like I just drafted a quarterback. And I already know what the fuck he is. So fine. No problem. I wouldn't do like they did with Mac, you know, two firsts and all that stupid shit. I laughed.
What's sport this about, where he wants to go?
He didn't say like where or anything. He just said trade. So it's funny because I'll follow a Twitter account or something, you know, that's bear stuff. And it was the greatest fucking tweet. It said, trade package for Deshaun Watson. The Hancock Building, the Bean, Virginia McCaskey, Khalil Mack, and Portellos. Do it. Get it done. I don't care. Do it. Trade the whole fucking city. Just get him here. Fucking give Virginia McCaskey too. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, fuck. You see the numbers he puts up with fucking trash. I mean, they go, look at his win-loss record. Well, fuck, the team is fucking garbage. But look at what he individually does. The guy's got a fucking brain on him too. I remember one time he explained something. Somebody said, "Oh, what about this one play or something?" And his response almost looked cocky. And he goes, "Are you talking about blah 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 blah, or talking about da 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 da?" And he goes, "I'm not being a smartass. I'm asking which one, because I saw two different things in two different plays." Like, he did the whole Rodgers thing. Broke down, well, they were coming up front with this and that, so I saw this, and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, this is the guy I don't have. Motherfucker. So, I would take him. Black or not, Billy. It doesn't matter to me. Like I said, Hitler throw a football. I don't care. I'll take it.
What did you lock up?
For my lock of the week?
Yeah.
I took Pittsburgh.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yes, I did. And your lock is Seattle, -3. I'm Pittsburgh, -6. So, oh, and as we're talking, I get a fucking message from ESPN that says, Texans, Watson upset with GM hiring. Texans did not inform Deshaun Watson they were hiring Nick Caseros. What the fuck is this guy's name? Casario. Nor did they consider this his preferred candidates. So, yeah, he's pissed.
Wait, how does he need to be? What does he need to be told about this stuff?
I guess you talk to your star, you know, but I agree. It's none of your fucking business who I hire. You run out, you know, 100%. Although, I guess he did suggest someone, and they just blew it off. Got someone else. But, I mean, you piss off your star player, you know how that fucking go. I mean, Rodgers is pissed. But he took it out on the field and become MVP of the season. That's how he fucking showed he was pissed off. So, hopefully, see, that's the thing. I need the Bears to lose so they fire the general manager. I need that fucking gone, even over the coach. I need that fucking gone. I don't mind Nagy as long as he's not calling the plays. He doesn't know how to fucking call play, and he's not anymore, except for certain points where I could tell where he's fucking calling the play because it's stupid. Like the 4th-and-1 where he had Mitch rolling out doing something. I was like, you did 3 of them where you just quarterback sneak, and now he does some fucking goofy rollout where you're like, why? That drives me out of my fucking mind. So, all right. Well, that's it, Billy. Where could they find you to sign up for your betting packages unless you're banning them?
I'm at lockbetting.com still, and it's still worth signing up. It's still early in the month. We're making money, as so far we've made money this month in the NFL. We're making money nearly every day in the NBA. We're making money in soccer again after we had a little bad couple of weeks. It's a good time to sign up. There's tennis Australian Open at the end of the month as well. After this, as this NFL season comes to an end and we start to plow through these fucking 13 games that we have left, there'll still be plenty of stuff to bet on. And the WWE Royal Rumble as well.
Yeah, with no fucking fans because Vince is a fucking dipshit where everyone else gets to have fans in the stadiums, but he still won't fucking do it.
Did you read my report?
I did. I was fucking aggravated by it. I was just so fucking pissed that the Rumble wasn't getting. I'm like, just fucking, what the fuck, man? And fucking NFL has half a fucking stadium full. You could fucking have somebody there. But, oh, I like a fucking television monitor in my crowd. Fuck, we're boring people who don't know what the fuck about wrestling. So, all right, that's it. Go make some money. We will be back next week to discuss all that happened this weekend. Big football weekend where your wives will have to be... I don't know if these people have wives or girlfriends, so where they would be widows during football season. But I'm Kev. He's Billy. Go make some money.
He could go.